Bible reading this morning is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Is. But he was killed this week. While he was at one of the things, the events he normally does, which is something that is very rare in this day and age, in that he has a very strong position where he is, but he goes to university campuses and says, ask me a question. And then he shares his point of view with the person and has an argument, not in a nasty way of it, but they just share and goes, well, this is what you believe. Well, this is the other side of it. He's been doing it for years. Now, yes, he's on the conservative side of politics. But he was engaging with anyone that would talk to him and seeking to come to an understanding of reality and the truth. And he sought to do it caringly and lovingly. Now, that doesn't mean he was a pushover. That didn't mean he agreed with everybody else. He certainly didn't. But because of that, he was shot. Now, as I was looking this week, and this little clip I'm going to play for you in a moment, where someone said to him, what if you die? Funny, that. Today, I'm talking about reconciliation. There are wrong things that happen in the world. We need reconciliation. I just want to play what Charlie Kirk had to say first.
How do you want to be remembered?
I mean, if I die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you faced God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Will you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve, mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians figure out what that is, or grace? What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound, which is as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so that they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior of the world, to be born new and to be completely and totally renewed. That's a gift that we must try to give all people in the world.
I mean, I've had an unbelievably blessed life. Been doing this now, it'll be 12 years on June 5th.
Such a young man to do it.
So young.
Yeah, so praise God. I mean, I've been all across the world. I've met with world leaders. I've flown in Air Force One, got to know a president. I have an amazing family, the podcast, Turning Point USA, all that stuff. And so you experience that and you're like, what actually matters? What matters is your relationship with the divine, your relationship with your family, your kids, and maybe a close collection of friends, and your relationship with the truth. And you could decide to lie all the time, then you become a tortured individual. And you know those people. You just turn on television. They're constantly lying, and they just become, like, disfigured either emotionally, spiritually, or physically. Because when you lie, I believe you're actually committing suicide of the soul. I really believe that.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live. And for those of you that have not given your life to Christ, I could tell you it is the most freeing, liberating thing that a human being can possibly do. The most important thing that you can do, which is to be born new into the kingdom of God.
As we continue in Corinthians, the verses that touched on me that are in the passage today is, all this from God, who through Christ reconciled him to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting us to us the message of reconciliation. That's what Charlie was on about. We've all stuffed up. We need to be fixed. And God says, the person most we've stuffed up with is our relationship with God. He says, I've come to enable that to be fixed. And when we fix that, then we can start fixing other things. Does our world need it? Well, what is reconciliation? The act of coming to an understanding and putting an end to hostility as the two former enemies agree to an amicable truce. Reconciliation is when there was a disagreement, a fight going on, and you've come to a place where there's no longer a fight and there's something going on. Does our world need it? Yes. We could do with some reconciliation in the Ukraine. Israel and Gaza could do with some. Now, they're the ones on our news regularly. How many of you have heard of the Nigerian Civil War? It's been going on for years. It doesn't get anywhere near that coverage. They're all way over there. There's perfect agreement between Sherberg and Mergen all the time, isn't there? Never any tension. You know, I put those things up and go, and this passage says, I've given you a ministry of reconciliation. Let me tell you, that's not, you've got to go fix all those, because it ain't going to happen. Let's just take the Israel-Gaza conflict that's been only going on for about 2,000, 3,000 years. But God didn't say go and fix those. Because the battle line between good and evil run through every human heart. If we're going to get reconciliation, we've got to start on the human hearts, the ones that are in our life. More likely, reconciliation might be needed within our family or extended family. I won't ask you to put up your hand in reality, but I want you to figuratively go, is all of the relationships within my family and extended family in perfect harmony at the moment? No need of reconciliation. I'm guessing not. How about your neighbors? The people you're living nearby. Is that perfect harmony? Possibly not. How about whatever your work situation is? Smooth as. How about your engagement with the society around you? Never a problem. Now, if that's true for you and none of those four things is any issue for you, thank you for coming, and hope you've enjoyed your life, and go out there and live that life. But if any one of those places could do with a touch of reconciliation, sit and listen, please, and ask God what he's saying to you, because I can't solve that. I've still got some of those myself that I'm growing and working on. But what did Jesus say? He said, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. God wants us to be part of the agency of bringing peace, not making it worse. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we know there's enmity in the world, in all sorts of places. Lord, we do pray for peace in Jerusalem. We do pray for peace in the Ukraine. We do pray for peace in Nigeria. We do pray for peace between opposing ideologies in America that end up with people shot. We do pray for peace in our own land between people who have differences of opinion. We pray for your truth. But most of all, today we can't fix those and we want that good. But in our own lives, we all have situations where there's tension, there's enmity. We pray that as we seek you this morning, as your Spirit works through us, you will help us to get to a place where we can be those peacemakers, we can be reconciled and be people seeking to bring reconciliation and good into our part of the world. By your guidance, by your strength, by your empowerment, by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. For reconciliation to happen, the two parties that are at enmity with each other have to agree to cease the conflict. Stop causing the damage. Does that make sense? That's nothing, well, maybe it's profound, but it's not anything incredibly new and strange. And then once the damaging each other, or one party damaging the damage is stopped, there has to be some sort of form of recompense for the damage, and the cost has to be agreed upon. Then you can have reconciliation. I didn't look that up in a dictionary. That's what I just went, well, it's got to have those things. So, for reconciliation, you only need it when there's been something gone wrong. If you're already at peace, you don't need a form of reconciliation. So reconciliation where there is enmity. Then you've got to get the two sides have got to be part of the reconciliation. If one wants to reconcile and the other doesn't, you will not get reconciliation. Then you've got to stop causing the damage. While one party's still damaging, imagine you don't get on well with your neighbour and they keep throwing their rubbish over your fence. And you come to have a meeting with a mediator and you come to a reconciliation, say, yep, we're going to stop that and we'll forgive you. The next day he throws rubbish over your fence. You can need a whole new reconciliation process. They're going to cease doing the damage. Then there has to be some form of recompense where the damage is atoned for or given up. Now, I put the word forgiveness there because sometimes the recompense is the person who's been hurt goes, I forgive, and they bear the cost of what was gone wrong. Forgiveness is one form of recompense. So we got those four things to happen when there's going to be a reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. So he says, your job is to go and bring the message of reconciliation. Oh, that's a bit scary, isn't it? Is it my job to fix Gaza and Israel? No. Yes, pray for it. But that's not where. The first thing he says is, God reconciled himself to us in Christ Jesus. Then he gives the message. So the first thing is, God sorted it out with each of us. There are two parties involved, us and God. There was an enmity there. we have done the wrong thing by God. You think, well, I've tried to be a good person. Maybe you have. But you've done the wrong things by God. I haven't tried to. Yeah, but God is the creator, is the perfect lawmaker. Whenever you've broken any of his laws, you've done the wrong thing by him because he's perfect. Now, we struggle to get our heads around that. But have any of you been parents and your child, and you know you've asked them something that's good and right and proper and under your authority and it's good for them, and if they've not done it, they're in the wrong by you? That's the best example I can come up with. God. God, in all his wisdom, because you, whatever you asked of your kids, there's a chance you were wrong some of the times. Now, you kids here, that's chance sometimes, not always, all right? You still need to listen to your parents. But God's never wrong. The reason why, as parents, sometimes you're wrong is you don't know enough about a situation. Well, that's not God's situation either. He absolutely knows everything. And as parents, sometimes you're a little bit frustrated or upset or other things are going on in your life and you're less than loving the amount of love you should have. That's never God either. He's always perfect. So we've done wrong by him. To them, empty. We have to cease that. Head to doing the things God's way. Until we go, hang on, you're the boss, you know. In fact, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What are the conditions of getting right with God? One of them is acknowledging who he is, his Lord. That means his way is the way to go. Then there's the bit about raised from the dead and the forgiveness. He's not saying you have to be perfect. He's saying you have to try and head that direction and stop trying to hurt me. Stop trying to do it your own way. Then the forgiveness will work. Then the recompense. God's forgiveness. God was reconciling us to himself through Christ. His death on the cross forgave us for all the things we've done wrong. So that's the first aspect of this reconciliation. And we can't really do the others until we ourselves get right with God and go, got it wrong. Sorry, God. I want to go your way. Please forgive me and help me forward. And he promises to do that. And then it's a journey with him. Then he says, I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to reconcile. Reconcile who? The ministry of reconciliation, I believe he's talking about, is others to God. He gave us a ministry to help others have this freedom, this reconciliation with God that we can have. There's enmity between people and God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Part of our job is to help others understand that and sort it out with God. No, it's not our job to go and tell everybody all their wrongs and they're a sinner and that they're wrong. It's part of our job when we're reconciled with God to show that that's good, and when they recognize it, show them the way out. To cease. To be helping people walk God's way. To help them understand what it is. To be the example of that. To tell them about it when they want to know. The recompense. God's forgiveness. Showing that sometimes. Talking about that. Showing how it's real in your life. That others might have that opportunity to be in right relationship with God, to be reconciled to God. If you've got a $3 million debt to this person over here and a $10 debt to that person over there, the $10 debt doesn't matter that much until you deal with the $3 million one. Now, yes, we sometimes go, I'll pay off the $10 and get that one over and get the big one out of the way. But if you've paid off the $3 million, or that's been got, then it's easier to deal with the little ones. And our debt to God is the big one. He says, let's deal with that first. When we've dealt with that, then we can start working on the other reconciliation bits. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's those times with people in our family, people in our neighborhood, people in our workplace, people in our society are less than perfect. How does the ministry of reconciliation work there? Well, if we're reconciled to God and we're right with God and His help is in us to bring that reconciliation to others, we can start going, well, who is it in my circle that I'm not in a good place with? Can we start fixing that? Then, is there enmity? Did you ever do something wrong to them, or have they done something wrong to you? Now, just if I go back a bit, the two parties, we can begin that reconciliation. Somebody's got to start it. The Bible says, God was reconciling Himself to us in Christ Jesus. He started the process. Now, God is all-powerful, all-loving, and effective. So, He's fixed it with everybody, hasn't He? No. Ever notice that anybody outside this church, of course, all the people in this church are reconciled to God, and we don't have, they're all fine. Ever noticed anybody else that's just not doing it godly way? They're not in the right place? That's because God gives us a choice. Not everybody's reconciled to God because some people don't want to for whatever their reason. When it comes to you reconciling with someone else, the first part is you've got to want to start that journey. Even if they come to you and they're the one that started, you've still got to want to. But if they don't, it's going to be a longer journey because you can't make it happen. Enmity. Now, you're all wonderful people, of course. You've never done anything wrong to anybody else, have you? The reality we've got to face up to and look in the mirror is sometimes the wrong was us. And we've got to go, God, I'm sorry. And then we've got to cop it up and start that journey of fixing it because we were the one that did wrong. Sometimes the wrong has been done to us. Stop it. If you're the one that did something wrong, start doing what's right with God's help. You choose to do with God's wisdom and God's strength and God's provision what's right by others. And if someone's doing the wrong by you, you might need to change something so you don't keep getting belted by it. If that shop's ripping you off and they've done it more than keep doing it, stop shopping there. If that person's doing the wrong thing by you at work, you might have to go, well, I'll go find another job. That may not be that simple, but with God's wisdom, you go, well, how do I stop the situation, do what I can so that I'm not continually being the one hurt? And then the recompense. If you did the wrong thing and this needs to be sorted out, cough up and pay up and do it. And ask God to resupply. And go, God, I know I did wrong here. I'm choosing to make that right. And it's a cost I can't necessarily afford. God will go, and you go, well, God, how do you enable that to happen? And if they're the one that's done the wrong thing, the recompense is, God says, we got to forgive. that costs. It hurts to forgive. Forgiveness isn't, just that doesn't matter. It did matter. It wouldn't be a problem. We're saying, I'm choosing to let go of the price. And then you go, God, I need you to help me through that. Reconciliation is wanting to get a place of non-enmity between two people. When those two parties are ready to make that thing. The call on you, the ministry of reconciliation we are given, is to get right with God first. Be helping others know about that. But then we need to start getting right with those in our circle. And that takes God's help. I put it a little bit like this. If you crash the car into someone, or someone crashes into you, there's damage there, there's enmity. You get out and you try and get it, work on it. You don't back up and run into them again. That's not good. Okay, so you stop that, and then it needs to be fixed. That's why we have insurance. God is a bit bigger than insurance, but in this little analogy, God's a little bit like the insurance company. If you're the one that did the wrong thing, your insurance pays for their car. If they're the one that done the wrong thing, hope your insurance company talks to their insurance company and gets the money that way, and they pay for it. If they are not insured, your insurance company pays for it. When we're reconciled to God, we have a hope that no matter what happens in our life, He says, I'm the insurance company. I can make peace in your heart with me, and there's a place for you to get peace with the other person. If they don't want peace, you can at least be at peace where you're not causing more damage and you're not carrying that damage. You go, all right, God, I'll leave them to you. And you can go on. Reconciliation. If we're reconciled to God and we're right with Him and we're doing what we can to bring right relationship to those around us, if they're not going to pay the party, they're not going to want to reconcile. They're not going to do what's right. With God's wisdom, you know when to step back or when to keep offering or whatever. But as I started thinking of it, and I sit in this ministry of reconciliation question, it takes two parties, us and God. He said it's available. We can take that up. If we take it up, then the biggest problem is solved and we can be in a good place. Then whatever other reconciliations out there, if with God's help we're doing the right thing, in the long run, in eternity, we are fine. But it also means if we're in a place of enmity with someone else and we're right with God, we're using God's wisdom, God's love and God's thing, and it's still not fixed, well, it's not our problem. Sometimes we can let it go. It's theirs. Now, that's not a quick thing, and it's not an assumption that it's always their fault. You go and ask God. His Holy Spirit can sort of give you the drum if it's your fault. But sometimes reconciliation cannot happen until the other party is ready. Let us be reminded of that. That we can't fix all the world, but there are bits we can fix, and that's our relationship with God. When Jesus hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," He said, "The price has been paid." He said, "The door is open." Reconciliation between God and man is okay. The work's done for that. The way is made. Are there still problems on earth? Might have noticed a couple. That's because some people haven't picked up the offer. But each resolve conflict is a step forward. If you've resolved your conflict with God, you're in a healthier place. If then out of that, what God's placed in you, you start seeking to resolve conflicts around you, the ones you have with others or helping others resolve theirs, the world's a better place. And eternity is a reality. That if you're resolved yours with God, helped others resolve theirs with God, you've resolved yours with others. If you each one you resolve down here, that's an easier relationship you've got here. And then when eternity comes, if you've got to resolve one, you're in a good place with God. And there's hope in that. And in the meantime, for those who don't want that, that's their choice. But it's been offered. And you've got the opportunity to keep offering that however you can. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that reconciliation is possible. Lord, we look around the world and see so many things wrong. Read a verse that says, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. That is not to be taken, that it's up to us to fix it all. But it is that offer that we can be fixed and then we can be part of fixing and reflecting and helping those around us. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, as we walk out this week into whatever our weeks are, I don't know necessarily what places of reconciliation I'm going to deal with, let alone each of you. But Lord, we pray for your Spirit's help to give us the wisdom, the courage, the grace, and the resources to be part of a reconciliation process in our particular situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.